I was thinking about as we close the year out, there's so many different things that we could say and so many different sermons that I could preach. And I was actually searching for a title, and then Joey and Mikey and Rachel were helping me out. And Joey's just like, hey, why don't we just call it Turning Point? So if you're looking for a title for today's message as we close out the end of the year, it's Turning Point. So as we prepare to cross over into a new year, I want to just pause and I want to enjoy, I want to embrace this last day of the year, these last few moments. And I want to take a moment, I want to encourage you today, I want to challenge you today, and I want to cheer you on today. For some, 2023, it's a year that you want to leave in the rearview mirror. You can't wait, you want to, let's just go, let's just hit 12 o'clock, let's go. For others, maybe 2023 was a great year. It was an awesome year, a year of favor and blessings, a year of increase. It was a good year for you. I want to share with you today that God's not just a God of our yesterdays. God's not just a God of your past. God, our Heavenly Father, is calling us forward to what lies ahead, to what's ahead of us, to the future, to what He has for us in 2024. I want you to know this, and I want you to understand this. There's people in here who've been walking with the Lord for years, and some who are getting ready to before the end of the day. Whether in the building or online, I want you to know this, is that God is with you today, but He is already in your tomorrow. God's already in your tomorrow, so whatever's got you concerned or up at night or worried or anxious or unsettled, God's already in your tomorrow, and if He's in your tomorrow, you can be at peace today. You can enter into His rest today. I've got just a couple of scriptures to share with you today, and we're going to kind of live here for our time together. It's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read out of several translations as we track today, and then I've got a couple more to share with you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. If you have your Bibles, if you have a device, if not, it'll be on the screen for you. This is out of the LSB, Legacy Standard Bible. I found this, and I like the way this reads. Brothers, I don't consider myself, and we can add sisters in there. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, the Apostle Paul is writing to this letter to the church at Philippi from prison. He's in prison and he's writing this letter. The city of Philippi at the time was considered the gateway to Europe. It was named after Philip of Macedonia, who was the father of Alexander the Great. Philippi was even viewed at the time as, hey, a miniature Rome, a marketplace city that was just booming. Evangelizing Philippi ensured that the gospel would be spread throughout the entire Roman Empire. I'm going somewhere. This, I want you to have an understanding of what's going on here. The Philippian church could be considered an ideal church because it was one that was graceful and grateful and generous. Paul was writing this letter to thank them for their generosity, to thank them for their support of his ministry. Paul was also encouraging them not to get stuck, but to move forward. Not to get stuck, but to move forward. Paul believed in moving forward. It's the only way to avoid stagnation and setbacks and failure. Paul's saying, I'm on a mission. I'm going somewhere. But I'm not there yet. See, he was in a prison cell. He was shackled. But he's saying, I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing. I'm moving forward. I'm going somewhere. I have some things in my heart that I'm going to see, that I'm going to do. And I just want to declare it out ahead of time that we're moving forward for these things. Yeah, we're having a few technical glitches. So if you see some of the lights moving around, just enjoy. Enjoy the show. If it's a part of the message that you don't like, just look at the lights. They'll probably go back and forth a little bit and then just keep moving forward. But Paul's saying, I'm on a mission, I'm going somewhere, but I'm not there yet. And I think that as a church family, we need to begin to embrace these things as, hey, we're not where God wants us to be for 2024 yet. We need to take some steps to move ahead, to move forward. What's it going to take? What's it going to look like? What's the dream and vision in your heart for your home? But also, there have been prayers that have been seeded throughout this place for years. What's it going to take to start seeing some of these things come to pass? What's it going to take to start seeing the seats filled? What's it going to take? Let's go a little deeper. We must never be satisfied. And forgive me, I'm going to get a little spicy today. It's the last day of the new year. Some of y'all might not like what I'm getting ready to say. That's okay. I still love you. You're still going to love me. Because you have to, because the Bible says so. But we must never, ever, ever be satisfied with the past or believe that what we are doing now in the present is all that we can or all that we should do. Our best days are not behind us. Our best day is not today. Our best days are out ahead of us. So we can't believe that the best has already come and gone. The best hasn't come and gone. We've had some good times, some good memories. I have some great memories. 2023, I can sit here and I can look at the glass half empty or half full. But I'm going to tell you, it was a year of blessing. It was a year of increase. It was a year of God's favor. And until 12 o'clock, he's not done yet. I believe that to achieve all that God will give us the opportunity to do in this next year, we must be ready to move forward to meet the challenges and the needs of the future. Today, I want to share four thoughts with you as we close 2023 out and we enter into 2024. Number one is forget what lies behind. Forget what lies behind. We can build a memorial for the things that God did in our lives, and that's scriptural. And there's a lot of Old Testament references to that. We can build a memorial before the Lord. We can celebrate the mighty things that God did. But forget what lies behind. Forget about the things in your life that lie. Forget what lies. The thoughts that come in the midnight hour, your thoughts, the inner voice that speaks negative, you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're a failure, you're a loser, you're an idiot, you're not going to be successful, your marriage can never be like this person, you're not going to have a successful relationship. All the different things that, the lies that you might try to believe, those are false. Forget the lies. Forget about them. That you'll never overcome this addiction. You'll never overcome this setback. Oh, this one's too big this time. You'll never walk in divine health and healing. Forget it. Forget the lies that the devil is trying to tell you. You know, we have an enemy of our soul, right? You're not thinking all these bad thoughts. We have a flesh that we do have to put under, yes. But sometimes the devil will throw thoughts your way. The fiery darts of the enemy. So he's always throwing, are you grabbing them? Are you entertaining those thoughts? You'll never do this. Who told you that you can never be successful or prosperous? Who told you that your health will never improve? Who told you that you'll never walk in divine health and healing? Or that you're a loser? Or you'll never own your own business? Or that intellectual property, that God-given idea will never get funded? Who told you that? Who told you you'll never overcome that addiction? That's impossible. Satan's trying to hinder you from moving forward in your relationship with Jesus. His lies, his schemes, his symptoms, they try to make you feel hopeless and helpless and sick and stuck. And I want to talk to some people especially who might feel stuck in your stuff today. The devil's on assignment to try to take us out early. And for those of us who he can't take out early, he's trying to make sure that we're caught up and distracted so we don't fulfill our God-given purpose. It's not your purpose. It's God's purpose for your life. See, there's a difference. I don't just, you know, play darts and go ahead and throw a dart. I want to be this, or I want to do this, or I just pick something out of a hat, or pick, no, no, no. These are decisions that are for the young people in the room, for the ones who are facing transitions in the room. These are things that we pray about. We pray about, Lord, what do you want to do with, what do you want to use my life for? Lord, am I in the right place? Is this the right job for me? Am I surrounded by the right people naturally? My friends, my sphere of influence. Lord, is this right for me? Lord, what do you want to do with, not what I want to do with, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, Jesus talking here, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's how the New Living Translation, the New King James reads like this: the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We have an enemy. His name is Satan, the devil, who is trying to do everything that he possibly can to stop you from walking in God's great plan for us. Anytime we're making progress or moving forward in God's will for our lives, the devil will try to come against us to try to drive us backwards. The question is, who are you going to agree with? Are you going to agree with the devil's lies, or are you going to agree with what God's saying you can do? Are you going to agree with what God says you can have? Because that's the difference. You're the difference maker. If you're going to see a difference from 23 to 24, you have to agree and grab a hold of the promises of God. Grab a hold of the Word of God so you can walk it out for you and your family. Let me talk to all the dads in the room for a moment and the fathers-to-be. You're the spiritual head of your home. You're the spiritual head of your home. It's time to get it right. It's time to line up and get in line with the Word of God. It's time for, instead of your wife doing all the praying, it's time for you to do some praying. Ooh. Okay, I'll keep going. That was a good time for the lights to kind of flicker and go. As the head of your home, we need to be praying. We need to be leading our families well, amen? Keep moving along. I kind of like awkward moments of silence. I got to be honest with you. Just like this. Just a few more seconds, please, if we could. Anytime we're making progress forward, the devil will always try to push us back. I want to make a declaration over you today, if I could. If you'll allow me to speak into your life. I declare that you're loved by God. I declare that you're blessed. I declare that God loves you so much. I declare that he has an amazing plan for your life that includes your gifts, your talents, your passions, because he gave you those. I declare that you'll walk in divine protection. I declare that you hear the voice of the Lord, and that a stranger's voice you'll not listen to. I pray that you won't follow good ideas, that you'll follow God ideas. I pray that you'll not follow the religious traditions of men or religiosity, but you'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. I declare you'll walk in the goodness of God. I want to break it down. I want to keep joy. A rich, satisfying life doesn't just mean money. Rich means relationships and knowing that no matter what I walk through, God is with me every step of the way. And sometimes it does involve money. God does want your needs to be met. Prosperous for some isn't prosperous for others. If you have food on the table, food in your fridge, money in the bank, a car to drive, clothes to wear, and a place to live, then you're prosperous according to most of the world out there. See, sometimes you got to put it in perspective. Some people hear prosperity and they kind of go tilt way over here. Not everyone's called to be a trillionaire, a millionaire, whatever. But it's kind of nice to have your bills paid, right? The second point I want to talk to you today is this, is forget the past. Forget the lies, but forget the past. Before we go to that next point, Satan steals, God gives. You got to keep it simple. Satan steals, God gives, because that's his nature and that's his character, because he's good. Sometimes we don't see God as good because maybe we didn't have a good relationship with our father. So we're thinking he's going to beat us down with a stick if we do something wrong, because God's not like that. God loves us. God took out the penalty and the punishment on Jesus when he shed his blood on the cross. We're living now in a dispensation called grace. And it's because of his goodness, he reached out to us. Amen? It's another good time for the lights to flicker. Forget the past, forget the disappointments, forget the setbacks, the hurts, the heartache, the headache, the frustrations. God, have you been frustrated this year? Transparent moment, I have. There's been days I've been frustrated. Forget the past. These things are baggage and they hinder us from our breakthrough. Forget the past because you can't change it. The only thing you can learn from the past, let it be your best teacher ever. Let it be your best instructor ever. Let it be your best education ever. You can't change it, but you can learn from it. You can grow from it. The third thought I want to share with you today is this. It's time to stretch forward. It's time to reach forward. You know, as I get a little bit older, I'm told that I need to stretch. I feel like saying, Doc, you shut your mouth. He's right. They're right. Chiropractors, doctors, they're awesome. I love them. But it's true. You know, I want to think I'm young and I'm invincible. I could do anything. But, you know, a few weeks ago, we changed locations. We moved. I'm still sore in places I forgot about. We have to stretch. We have to be flexible. We have to. Stretching, it is a process. It does take time. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 from a different translation. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind me and stretching forward to the things which are before. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I press. It's important for us to stretch. When we sit too long, we can become sore and stiff. I was doing cardio at the gym to kind of work off my Merry Christmas, you could say. A little extra cardio. And after I got off the elliptical machine for about 30, 40 minutes, it's a little bit sore. I could feel it a little bit. If we sit too long, we become sore and stiff and lose range of motion, and we can lose strength. I have a friend that's in the hospital right now. He's been in the hospital for several weeks. And because of a lack of motion, moving and stretching and mobility, losing muscle mass, sore, limitations could try to settle in. Stretching keeps the muscles flexible and strong and healthy, and we need that flexibility to maintain a range of motion in our joints. My joints right now, I can feel it sometimes when I put some weight on, lift some weights, whatever it might be. Without flexibility, muscles shorten and they become tight. Healthline said this. So when someone is uptight, tense, they haven't been stretching, So there is less strength, there's stiffness, a loss of range of motion. The joints hurt instead of being a supply. The joints are sore and restrictive and causing pain. It's a year for us to stretch forth. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their own desolate cities. Rob, what does that mean to us? We'll get there in just a minute. Why stretch? To improve movement, to improve flexibility, to improve our reach. It's time to stretch forward to reach for what the Lord would have in store for us together as one church family. Direction is for the purpose of moving us forward. We don't need directions for what we did. We don't need directions for what we did. I don't have to tell you and give you direction for how to plant a church, because we've already planted a church. We're already a church. I don't have to look back and get the direction and redo that again. There are things in this season as we're moving forward, because things are rapidly changing in our nation, in our culture, with our children, that the way that we did things before, we can't do things like that anymore. Why? Because we'll lose this generation. We'll lose this generation. When in schools they're talking about transgender, and you can pick one, you can pick your adjectives, and you can pick whatever you want to be, you can pick your prefix and all the other different things. We have to look at some things in the church and know we don't compromise who we are or what we do. Our message will always remain the same, but our mission will always remain the same. But our methods have to adapt sometimes, ebb and flow. Pastor Basil preached an amazing message several months ago on change. There's going to be some things that we have to look at and pray about and change together as a church family. But it's going to require letting go of some things to reach forward and stretch for the next. What do you see? What's in your heart? I see the seats filled. I see the seats filled. Well, I'm not talking about a crowd. I'm talking about life transformations. I see the seats filled. I see people with hungry hearts to serve Jesus. I see healings and I see miracles. You know, as we're coming together as one church family, some of the things that we have seen this past year at Christ Chapel has been pretty amazing. We've seen cancer go. People that couldn't have babies, they're pregnant. Some had a baby. Like, I'm talking impossible. Like, things were snipped and clipped and all kinds of stuff. It shouldn't have happened. Migraines leaving, DNA in people's body changing because of the power of our great God. Mental health being restored. Come on, somebody. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, plus the people who are going to come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. There are prayers that have been seated and seated and seated. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says this, is that every tear that was shed gets bottled up and it gets brought before the Lord. God sees your tears. especially when nobody else does. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. He is working in your situation. God will never override your will. You have a free will. 2024, what will it be for you? What will it be for you and your family? You don't have control. You can't use your faith over someone else's will. You can pray that the entrance of the Word of God brings light and illumination. You can pray that eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to understand God's plan. You can pray the Ephesians prayers over people, but you can't change their will. Only the Word of God can. Only the presence of God can. Only the power of God can. I'm believing for people to get saved. I'm not looking to collect a bunch of believers from other churches. Come on, somebody. I'm looking for new fruit. I'm looking to see people coming in here and their lives being changed. Like Reverend Nick Cassidy said, people that might have different hair colors and different things like that, people that might be struggling with some really heavy issues, get ready. It's going to happen. But we have to be flexible. We have to stretch forward. We have to reach forward. That's right, man.
Hey, we're going to take the old ones too,
so. Absolutely. You got it. All day long. All day long. It's not either or, it's both and. It's both and. But enlarge the place of your tent. It's time to reach forward together as one church. It's time to use our faith to believe God for increase in our lives personally, but for the church as well. Because I see every seat filled. I see people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I see people getting baptized. I see the kids' wing filled, and I see us happen to build again. I see missions trips. I see us supporting people to maybe places that we can't go. I see us having a stronger reach worldwide and in this community. It's time to have a mindset of increase relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. It's time for us to have that mindset. It's going to require us all to be intentional about our vision and our mission, which is believe, belong, become, and build. This is a place where people can come in and believe in Jesus, receive Jesus, belong to a family. Hey, this is my church home. This is the place where I can grow. When I can become a part of a small group, and I can get discipled, and I can learn more about the Lord, and then we use our lives together collectively to build God's plan and live out His purposes on the earth. It's a time to look forward. Are we willing to do what it takes to reach more people? I see a house of miracles. There's been stories together of people walking in the doors, depressed, fighting some heavy battles. And when they walked in the door, they just said, something just changed in my heart. Something changed in my emotions. Something changed in my outlook. And it wasn't a worship team. It wasn't a message. It wasn't a person. It was all of us together cooperating with heaven. And it was the Holy Spirit who touched that person. And they received Jesus. Can we wake up every day expecting God to move? One preacher said this every day. Wake up and say, something good is going to happen to me today. And whether you like him or not is irrelevant. Are you bold enough to declare that I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, and something good is going to happen to me today? It's time to use our faith to grow the kingdom of God. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see signs. We're going to see things. We're going to see more creative miracles. We're going to see ears being opened. That's something during worship the Lord put on my heart. We're going to see ears being opened. So let's have a heart of expectation. Let's declare that this church experiences, we experience the power and the presence of God more and more, that it increases, that this is a place of healing, a place of miracles, a place of faith, a safe place to where people can come and their troubles dissipate. Let's declare that every obstacle that tries to hinder God's plan will be removed. My closing thought today is found, as you would imagine, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. This is out of the Modern English Version. Brothers, I don't count myself to have obtained, but this one thing I do. I really want you to know this scripture. That's why I keep using it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, to the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. A fourth point today as we close, press towards the goal. Paul says, I press towards the mark. Paul uses this analogy of a race to show that we're constantly striving to reach and to press forward towards our goal. When a runner starts out on course, he doesn't carry any unnecessary clothing or baggage because the excess weight will slow him down. God bless you. He doesn't run constantly looking behind him because he'll trip and he can't see what's lying out in front of him. Forgetting those things which are behind, looking forward, reaching forward, stretching forward, pressing forward, because he wants to see. He's looking for the finish line. He's looking for the finish. As we close out 2023, the finish line for 2023. Different folks have different words for different years, and sometimes they rhyme and sometimes they don't. Rob, what do you see? What's the word for 2024? More saving, more doing, more lives changed, more people healed. It shouldn't be anything different than what we're doing now. It shouldn't be anything different than what's in the Word. Now, I believe that we're going to see mighty things. I believe that as the world gets darker, as there are different reports that are going on in the world, that we're still going to see the goodness of God. That if there is a currency reset, we're still going to see the goodness of God. That He is still Jehovah Jireh, our provider. That no matter what happens, if there's another pandemic or health care or health crisis, that He's still Jehovah Rapha, my healer. That no matter what comes this way, that He's still my banner of victory. If He already won it, I don't have to. I just have to walk in it. John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania came staggering into a stadium more than 1 hour behind the winner of the 1968 marathon. After the race, he simply said, "My country did not send me to Mexico City to start the race. They sent me to finish it." Even though he didn't place first, he still finished the race. I want to encourage you to finish your race. I want to encourage you that as we enter into the next calendar year, we're going to be starting 21 days of prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to take some time to pray and fast if you can. Fasting, yeah, there are medical conditions and things like that. I understand you don't have to fast. But the Bible says, Jesus said this, some things only change. Some things only happen. These things come out. Certain devils and demons that you're fighting only come out by prayer and fasting. I'm going to be praying, I'm going to be fasting, and I'm asking you to journey with me and join us together. I'm going to ask you to journal and write down, what do you believe in God for in 2024? Write the vision, make it plain, so you can read it, so you can look over it, so you can see it, so you can revisit it, so you can believe God for it. It can be loved ones, it can be things in your life, in your house, in your marriage, in your kids, in your future. What do you believe in God for? It's okay to believe God. It's okay to use your faith. It's okay. You're believing God for what His promises are in the Word. So write it down. Write the vision. Make it plain. I did write some things down about 2024 through a time of prayer. 2024 is going to be a year of promise. It's going to be a year of momentum. It's going to be a year of advancement. It's going to be a year of growth, a year of miracles and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. What are manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Someone's just going to be sitting in the seat, and there's going to be a change, a noticeable change in their body. Ears open, pain gone. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit. A year of growth, a year of miracles, a year of manifestations, a year to see the goodness of God. It'll be up to you and it'll be up to me if we experience it. The Bible says you can declare and decree a thing and it'll be established unto you. It's important to not say what you see, but say what the Word says. Say what the Word says. Declare the promises of God. Declare that God is working in that situation. God is moving in that situation. God is moving in my mind. God is moving in the lives of my kids who are struggling mentally or with this challenge. God is moving. God is working. Use your authority. Take authority over the depression and the oppression and the anxiety and the fear and the things that keep you up at night. And don't allow it to come back in. No, I take that thought captive in the name of Jesus. No, you're not going to rob one more moment of sleep or my peace. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. It'll be up to you. You have a part to play. You have to agree with God and use your faith as you pursue the promises. That's why it's important that what you're believing for is rooted in the Word. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you haven't, maybe you have. Read the Bible this year. I don't care if you read it from cover to cover. I'm just asking you to read it. Start somewhere. If you have a device, you can download the Bible app and Bible reading plan. Start somewhere. Start in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start there. Pick a translation that you'll, I don't know, King James, this. Pick one that you'll read. It's simple. I don't live in the King James, the these and thous and thuses. No, I read all different kinds of translations because I like words and I like meaning. I like to look them up and I like to pick them apart and really find out what's being said there. What is the Lord saying to us? So start reading the Bible. Make it. You don't have to read hours. Give God the first part of your year in this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Get the Word in you. Sow the first part of your day so you can reap in the latter part of your day. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. Sow the word of God. Get the word of God in you. This is here to help how we respond to the challenges of life, to that angry boss or that person or that issue at work or school or that family member. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give you an invitation. As we cross over to a new year, 2023, decisions have been made. There's one decision you can make that'll change your life forever. And I want you to know this is God loves you so very much that he sent his son Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh. He put his God privileges aside and he lived as a man on this earth to live as our example. He lived on this earth 33 and a half sinless years. He performed many mighty miracles. As a teenager, he was in the temple and asking questions and blowing the minds of the religious leaders at the time. Soon those people whose mind that he blew became ones who persecuted him because they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They didn't believe that he was the very one that they were searching for, the Messiah. So when he performed many mighty miracles, and when he turned water to wine, when he raised people from the dead, when he healed people, when he set them free, they got angry. They accused him, and they sentenced him to death on a cross. Jesus offered his life willingly for you and for me on that cross. Why? Because when we're all born into this world sinful and we need a Savior. And the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that the Old Covenant, they used to have to sacrifice animals and shed blood a certain way and certain preparations. I'm not going to get into all the gory details. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But in the Old Covenant, what it did, it just pacified it. It just put it off. It just made it go away for a little bit. That's why Jesus came. He came and he shed his blood, the stripes on his back he shed for you and for me. Not just so that we can receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but so we can walk in divine health and healing, and we can be divinely protected, that we can be prosperous and successful in life. That's God's purpose and that's God's destiny and plan. Jesus became our sinless, spotless lamb, our sacrifice. His blood, we have a hard time with this sometimes. His blood paid the price and the penalty for our sin collectively as the human race, past, present, and future. For thousands of years, that's how powerful his blood is. He said, I've got you covered. And the Bible says that God remembers our sin no more because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Our sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, he eradicated them. I don't know your story. I don't know your situation. I don't know where you're at today, whether in the building or online. But if you're here today and you've never made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to believe that he's the Son of God, to believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood for you, I want to give you that moment. No one's looking around but me. I'm going to give you an invitation. I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. Then I'm going to ask you to put your hand down. And then we're going to pray a prayer together, and I believe that you'll receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. After Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose again. And when he rose again with purpose and life and destiny. And I want to encourage you today that the decisions that you made yesterday do not have to affect your tomorrow. When you receive Jesus, you become brand new. Old things are passed away. So if you're here right now and you need to receive Jesus, or you want to receive Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life back to him, the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand and put it down. One, two, three. If that's you here today, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say, pray for me. Whether in the building or online, I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Pray for me. It's a holy moment. We don't play with people's emotions. This is a decision that they make. Why do I have to raise my hand? Because the Bible says this. Jesus said this. If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who is in heaven. One more moment. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, no one looking around but me. Let me see your hand. Excellent. I see those hands. Whether in the building or online, let's all pray this prayer together. Church family, can you help us? Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross just for me. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Jesus, I ask you to help me to live a life that honors and pleases you. I receive you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give him a great big hand. Whether in the building or online, I want to encourage you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, or if you should have, or if you rededicated your life back to Jesus, it's important to tell somebody. Why? Because you're going to leave here, you might say some things and do some things that you once did, and you're going to hear this voice. It's the enemy of your soul. His name is Satan. Nothing really happened to you. You didn't change. You're still the same old person. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. And that's one of the lies that you need to forget going into 2024. Is forget about that. Tell someone you're going to need the encouragement. People are going to need to cheer you on. Say, hey, you've got this. You're doing good. Just keep moving forward. Just keep coming to church. Read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, our church family would love to bless you with a Bible. Just let us know. If you have a device, you can download the Bible app. Many different translations. And easy to read will be the NIV, the New Living Translation. If you need some help, see an usher, see a team member, see myself afterwards. Love to be able to help you out and answer any questions you might have. But I want to say welcome to the family. I believe that your life will be changed forevermore. We love you. We're praying for y'all. Happy New Year.